listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Party, you must have received your VIP pass in the mail. Maybe you're a do-gooder. Maybe you're someone who helps the planet. Maybe you're someone who helps people in need, people in distress. Maybe you're a caregiver. Maybe you always stop and help someone who looks like they're lost, or a child who looks like he's lost his parent. Or you're the type of person who helps the cliched little old lady cross the street. Well, if that's the case, then you want to be coming to this party today, because we're going to be talking to a company that's a bit of a do-gooder, a company that actually sells a product that I love, where 100% of the proceeds from that toy, dog toy, go to service dogs. So when you give your dog this toy, you actually help somebody somewhere get a dog that takes care of them. And we'll be talking about that with Planet Dog and with Kristen, because she's back to tell us about that and some of the other things they've been doing. They just won an award for all their good work. But I invited them to the party partly because of that, and partly just because I like their stuff so much. It's so hard and chewy and fun for the dogs and glowy and interesting, and yet it's so ethically okay. So we're going to talk to her in a minute about that, and I'll give you some holiday tips throughout the show, safety tips and maybe a shopping suggestion, some training tips and manners tips. But before we get going on all that, I want to welcome to the show once again, Planet Dog and Kristen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be back.
Well, I heard you won a big award, so come on, tell us. Let's brag a little bit about the good work Planet Dogs are doing.
We would love to. Planet Dog was just recently recognized by the Portland Economic Development Council as the Small Business of the Year for 2011. A lot of that was in recognition of the fact that we do give back so much, both here to our local community and to the community of dog lovers nationwide.
Well, when I asked you to send me some pictures, I kind of expected to get pictures of, you know, like I usually get from manufacturers who want to be on my show, dog toys. But I didn't. You sent me some stuff like that, but you also sent me a beautiful picture of a person walking a service dog and another picture of a patient in the hospital being kissed by, I think it was a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel. Yeah, it was. I know my King Charles Cavalier Spaniel. And what a great visitation dog. It's basically a cat dressed up as a dog with really good manners. Perfect dog. But your company really goes out of its way to do this. And the charities it picks are pretty specific. So can you tell us about that, how you decide? Because, I mean, there's lots of shelters and rescue places and all this kind of stuff all through North America. But that's really not your direction. You go with the service dogs. And I know it's not the seeing eye dogs that we normally think of. Seems like you're targeting the dogs that serve people that kind of get lost in the cracks there. Maybe aren't in people's, you know, general idea of service dogs, sort of get missed on the donation list.
And that's part of why we did come up with the mission that we have for our foundation. Obviously, we really support the work of shelters and rescue groups around the country. But in terms of our grant program and the mission of the Planet Dog Foundation, we wanted to be a little bit more specific because there are so few charities out there that do support the type of work that we do. Our mission really is to support the programs that train and place dogs that are working in some capacity to help people in need. So we fund service dog training programs, including guide dogs or seeing eye dogs, but also medical alert dogs and autism assistance dogs or psychiatric service dogs. We also support therapy dog programs and animal-assisted therapy programs where maybe the dog is instrumental in a physical rehabilitation schedule in a hospital setting, helping a traumatic brain injury patient to learn how to grab again by playing tug with the dog or grabbing a ball and throwing it for the dog. Programs like that where, again, a dog is an essential component to helping a person overcome some need, be it emotional, physical, or safety related. We also support canine search and rescue programs all over the country to help find lost hikers in the wilderness, or maybe a child or an elder that's wandered away, as well as police dog and fire dog programs, military dogs that are working overseas with our troops. Those are sort of a broad scope of the number of programs that we fund. Again, helping dogs to help people in need.
When you talk about the detection dogs, that's something really interesting. And I think a lot of people are sort of aware that dogs can do this. We sort of know that some dogs can find cancer. Some dogs know when an epileptic seizure is about to happen. Some dogs know when a person, especially a child's, sugar levels get to a point where they're in danger of diabetic reactions or insulin reaction or even coma. And some dogs even know and can smell an oncoming heart attack. Some of these dogs that do this weren't even trained. They just experience it once with their owner, care so much about their owner, recognize similar trouble signs and start alerting. And it's amazing what dogs can do. So you've just outlined a whole whack of service jobs that I bet people never thought of. Learning to use your hands again kind of struck a bell with me, because I remember reading about this place, I think it was in upstate New York, where they decided to introduced just a resident couple of animals, a dog and a cat, to live in the place. It was a home for severely ill or suffering, chronically suffering people, elderly people, but people who usually, most of them had Alzheimer's and related type of things. And so there was a lot of security and things like that issues. And a lot of the people had stopped dressing themselves and feeding themselves. And they found a year after they had animals in the place, 50% of the people went back to both feeding themselves and dressing themselves at least part of the time. First, they were brushing the animal, and first, they were feeding the animal. And then it led to them wanting to feed themselves. So it's really interesting, this connection you talk about. Maybe you could describe for us that type of work, the work where they're actually helping people get back skills like that.
Well, there are just study after study that shows that, an animal in a nursing home, for example, with a patient with Alzheimer's, or, in sometimes situations where someone has been a victim of a violent crime and has shut down completely and is unreachable, and a dog comes in, and there's something about that human-animal bond that's able to reach inside of these people, and it brings back, I think there's memories of pets that people may have had in their past, or dogs or cats that they've loved at another time in their life, or a dog or cat that's left at home while they are recuperating wherever they are. And it just breaks down a barrier for them and enables them to reach out and have a little bit more connection with the world around them. And well-trained therapists with these dogs are really able to take those openings and work with them and use the dogs in ways that are able to break past some of the barriers that sometimes people on our own, we aren't able to do.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I think some of it is that the pets don't judge. So they're not comparing mm-hmm. you to how you were before, or they're not troubled by things like muscular spasms or saliva or things that the patient can't control at that stage of their recovery. The dog couldn't care less anyway. Never could. Right. Never would. And the person knows that. But I think there's also something to this, because I've seen it with autistic kids and horses, and I know they do it with dogs. And that is, they will use the reward of the horse. The kid has to do something to get to do the thing they want to do with the horse. And, mm-hmm. it's amazing to see these kids ask nicely, take things nicely, do what they're supposed to do, all just to get to brush a horse, And yeah. It's amazing when you watch them the first time and how excited they are to just be near such a big animal and how excited they are to put their hands on it. And this is supposedly a kid who doesn't want to touch, and you see that he wants to touch.
Yeah. So many Sorry. Families who get an autism service dog in their homes report the same thing, that, kids who could barely tolerate touch from even their family members before the dog came in, with some time with the dog, touch becomes much more palatable to the child overall, with family members and people And it also opens up these social doors for these kids who, you know, may be mainstreamed in school, but have a hard time with their peers because of their behaviors. And then they get a dog, and suddenly all the other kids in the school want to hang out with this person and hang out with the dog. And it just opens up this, again, this sort of channel of communication with kids, or, you know, anybody who's having a hard time communicating. The dog can just be such a gate opener for them socially, physically, mentally, emotionally.
Oh, I completely agree. And sometimes a dog who likes kids too much will flunk out of seeing eye dog school in the later stages. No, it's true. Because they'll be doing everything right. They'll be listening and looking and seeing and stopping and alerting and signaling. They'll be doing everything right. And then they'll see kids and they'll completely lose their mind. And there's a few dogs like this. They can't make it. They've had so much money invested in their career and they're almost trained to a T. And they make that dog into an autism assistance dog. And the dog learns things like when the kid tries to bolt, the dog lies down. Dog's 75 pounds. Kid can't bolt anymore. Because they're attached to each other. When the kid is in any kind of danger, dog protects it. When the kid is going to go across a road, dog won't let it. All this sort of stuff is, without communication, it just makes it happen. So all of the power struggles the parents have been experiencing trying to hold this kid who, you know, maybe at 8 or 9 or 10 is already the size of the mom. Like, trying to hold this kid back from hurting himself or getting hit by traffic or being unsafe whenever he's not home. These people report that for the first time ever, they can go attend a baseball game. They can go to a movie. They can go to a mall. They can walk, you know, see one of their other kids play a sport and bring this child with them. I mean, it's so liberating. It's incredible. Okay, so we're going to come back and talk more about this. And we're also going to talk about Planet Dog. And we're going to talk about your Christmas ornament chew toy because it's my favorite for the holidays. Yeah, the Glow for Good ball is the one you get because you feel good and you want to do the right thing. But that little Christmas ornament, oh man, is that ever adorable. Okay, everybody, so stay tuned. We'll talk about that in a minute. We're just going to go to a little commercial, and then you'll be back at the party at Animal Party Pet Life Radio with Deb Wolf.
Don't go anywhere, because the best is yet to come. Stick around.
Is the coast clear?
Yes! Let's go!
Are you sure they went to Petco?
Where else would they go?
Oopsie!
Hey, calm down!
I smell presents!
Go to PetLifeRadio.com/Petco and get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off hundreds of holiday items at Petco. PetLifeRadio.com/Petco.
Uh-oh, step on it!
Okay!
Oh. Not
at
my tail.
Petco, where the pets go.
Dyson. The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radial root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to PetLifeRadio.com/Dyson. PetLifeRadio.com/Dyson to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
This year, Americans are expected to spend a jaw-dropping $36 billion on their pets. From lighted leashes to high-end spa products, the discriminating pet owner can find just about anything to pamper his or her pet. Hi, this is Michelle Fern. Join me every week for Best Bets for Pets, where we'll talk about the latest pet products and talk to the companies that make them. Best Bets for Pets, every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
You're inside the VIP room.
With the hottest party in town.
Back to the party.
Let's go!
Hello! Welcome back to the party. I see you've had a chance to refresh the water bowls. Let the cats have a little scratch and stretch. And we're back with Planet Dog. I am going to give you some holiday tips. Like, anchor your tree. Fill it with water, not chemicals. Don't leave lit flames and pets together. See, I'm sneaking them in already, Kristen. Okay, so then we're coming back with Planet Dog, and we're going to talk about, well, we were talking about autism assistance dogs, which is a great topic. because they do so much for the family and the kid and everybody. Just, it's like they can breathe again. They're not always listening for the doors to be open and the kid to go make a run for it. It's so much safer. And the child gets happier too. That's the other thing. I mean, the child is experiencing a lot of conflict being held back all the time by the parents and other people. It's so liberating for the child to not have that. And the dog doesn't view the dog as a jailkeeper. It's a companion. It's a very interesting relationship. And these dogs are so suited for it. It's amazing to watch. So, okay, so tell us some more good stories and how the Glofer Good Ball puts this in action. So when you get one under your Christmas tree or in your Hanukkah gelt, this Glofer Good Ball that your dog's going to just love. Okay, what good are you doing? Why should you feel so good?
Well, let's see. You know, some other things. I mean, the thing is that's so great about dogs is their capacity for smell is just so refined and so advanced and so much more refined and advanced than anything that humans can do, that they are really able to be trained to identify almost anything. So as you had mentioned before, there are dogs that have been trained to identify cancer cells in a urine sample, for example, or dogs that can identify the onset of a diabetic or a blood sugar drop just based on smell. Now they've got their training dogs to identify bed bugs in hotel rooms or to identify certain kinds of parasites in farm fields so they can figure out, you know, what may be causing a particular blight or something like that. One of the programs that we've funded that is based in Montana, which is called Working Dogs for Conservation, they have trained dogs, and these are all dogs that are rescued from shelters. They're very hyper dogs. They have a really high work drive, a really high energy level. So they've been very hard to adopt. You know, the sort of normal family says this dog has too much energy for me. But these programs, they are able to bring these dogs in and train them and take their high energy and their high drive and put it to such great use. So they've trained dogs to identify the scat of a variety of different endangered species, different animals, to try to figure out where they're moving as their habitats are being forced to change because of people coming in. And
oh my gosh, what a dream
job
for a hyper, high energy, smart dog. He gets to go through the wilderness taking basically poop samples. You know, right. I mean, like, that's what they do anyway. That's how they live. I mean, it's so funny. He's just like, yep, I got the life. Yeah, that's terrific. They do that with whales, too. They can smell, a dog in a boat can direct the people to whale feces. And there's all kinds of things dogs can do. They can find a cadaver 80 feet under the water when a missing person is being looked for. They can find people in snowdrifts. The things you talk about, the diabetes, what's so fascinating about that for me is there's been the odd case here and there where the dog isn't even trained. There was a miniature schnauzer that started freaking out one night, and the little girl with it, they'd only been together a few weeks. They just rescued this thing. And the little girl with it was having a diabetic reaction, and her parents had to get her to the hospital. And then the next time it happened, the dog alerted even earlier, and they just were able to medicate her at home. And it was just like, how did this dog know? Because the dog knows when everything's okay, and the dog knew the body was under stress, and it knew to call somebody. You know, and some dogs just have that ethic. I have the odd cat and the odd dog around my house, because I do have a lot of foster and other animals. So there's about 9 animals in and out of the house at any given time. There's a couple of them that every time the phone rings, if I do the pager function to find it, you know, the locator function, and it's beep, 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 there's a standard poodle who will run to the phone and stare at it. And one of my cats is like that too, just run to the phone and stare at it. And it's like, you know, that's a hearing dog or a hearing cat. That's
right.
Exactly what a deaf person needs. They need an animal who will run to the door and stare at it, run to the phone and stare at it. Get them paying attention, right? But some animals are tuned into this kind of thing. Some animals could care less. My golden retriever sleeps right through it, does it? She's like, what? Phone's ringing? Is it? Really? No. I didn't hear a splash, so it doesn't concern me, you know. But they're all different. And you know, the work you do, they pick the dogs that are ideal for this, and then they train them up for the needs to fit the people. It must be really hard to pick the charities because there's so many that are... serving.
It is extremely challenging for us. There are so many amazing programs out there that are doing great, great work. And when we open up our grant cycles and get applications, you know, we consistently receive, you know, 100 applications from qualified programs out there that are doing great work, and we're only able to pick a small handful of them at this point. And we very much hope that our foundation will grow and our giving capacity will grow, because there are so many wonderful dogs out there doing such amazing things for people. And as you mentioned before, there's a lot of celebrities out there who have taken on animal shelters as their cause. And, you know, there are a lot of charities that are geared towards shelter and rescue work. And obviously, there's not enough. There's always room for more of that philanthropy anywhere, everywhere.
You know who's on your side on this is Senator Al Franken. You remember him from SNL? He's on your side.
He's really a proponent of the military dog.
That's right.
For disabled veterans.
That's right. The very first thing he did once in, you know, able to do something, very first political thing he did was put forth a bill, which got passed, approving of therapy dogs for service people coming home with PTSD. Mm-hmm. So that's, the guy comes home, he's still shell-shocked. Every time people touch him, he thinks he's in a battle zone. He can't go out, he can't work, he can't sleep. He has night sweats and night panics and hallucinations. He's a lousy dad, he's a lousy husband. He can't do anything, he gets depressed. All this is going on, whether or not he's also physically injured, because he might be. He might also be in a wheelchair or in crutches or something. But this is what he's dealing with. And then he gets a dog. And so every time this is happening, the dog wakes him up out of his nightmare. The dog interrupts the hallucination. The dog shows him when he's surrounds him in a crowd so nobody touches him. The dog will, just by its happy, relaxed presence, when the guy is having a flashback, he looks at the dog and he says, you know what? I'm mistaken. Because the dog's not freaked out. I'm not in a battle. Clearly, I'm mistaken. And the man learns to work with the dog or the woman. And in no time, the ex-soldier is able to function completely. And I've seen the interviews with the family members and the guy and the dog. And it's just amazing. So, way to go, Al Franken. But I want to go back to your Glow for Good ball. Can you describe it to everybody? Because I'm hoping people will order it. Because the proceeds go to service dogs and the people who need them. So, let's go. Go.
Well, the next thing about Planet Dog is that a percentage of all of our sales goes to support our foundation and all of this great work that dogs do. Our Glow for Good ball is 100% of the proceeds of every sale of the Glow for Good ball do support the foundation. The Glow for Good ball is made out of our signature Orbi Tough material. It's extremely durable, great for aggressive chewing dogs. It glows in the dark, so if it lands in the backyard or rolls under your couch, you can always find it. And they are very bouncy. They float, so you can, you know, toss them in the water for dogs who like that game. And again, very durable and 100% guaranteed. Planet Dog guarantees all of its products 100%. So the Glow for Good ball really is, you know, it's a special treat for the dog and for the person, because it does give back so much while also rewarding your dog for being such a great companion.
Is it in two sizes now or just one?
It is in two sizes. We have one, there's a 3-inch diameter ball, and then we also did a slightly smaller one that fits into our woodchuck or any other ball tosser. It's kind of more the size of a tennis ball, so it fits into the ball tossers out there, including ours.
Okay, so if you're listening and you have a rude dog, a hyper dog, a dog who doesn't listen, a dog who maybe even takes his ball and gives it to other people at the park, this is an indication that your arm is not worthy of your dog. And that means you need one of these catapult things, because that's what they are. It's like a little catapult. It looks like a back scratcher or a solid tong, big spoon kind of thing. You stick the ball in it. You hold it behind your shoulder and you go whoosh right over. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to be fit. You can even be sitting down or in a wheelchair. You can be sipping a very large cafe mocha or something like that and just fling the ball, and you will be flinging it farther than most people could with the best arm possible in their heyday, which they brag about when they tell you about their college days. You'll be throwing farther than them. Yeah. No, there's no reason not to get this, because it works so well. And you also talked about this before, but the spit factor. If you have a spitty dog, and you know who you are, yes, you do, there's some dogs who can't help it. The St. Bernards, the Mastiffs, the dogs with the big flutes, that's the part of the lip that kind of droops. And actually, people would be surprised to know this, in those breeds, it is considered a mark of extreme beauty that the boys have these big floppy, lippy, gummy, slobbery lips. But anyway, so... So these dogs can't help it. A ball is with them 1 second, and it's covered in this white, foamy, goopy stuff. You don't want to get anywhere near that. You can scoop up the ball and fling it again without that getting near you with the scooper thing that she's talking about. But the other thing is, there's dogs who shouldn't do that and do. There's some dogs who get so excited. I've known a couple labs who gum up their ball. So if you've got a gummy ball dog, then you definitely want one of these. Or if your arm isn't worthy of your dog, then why not tire your dog out and attempt the time by throwing it properly? Let him really get going. Instead of short little wind sprints, let him do a workout, an endurance workout. If he's a good dog and he fetches well, and if he's not a good dog and he doesn't fetch well, you should check out my videos. They're free on YouTube. There's 10 of them up there right now. 7 of them are training tips. So just go to YouTube, Deborah Wolf, and check them out. You can get come and sit and fetch manners and all kinds of stuff off there. So your dog will be good. Yes, he will. And since the holidays are coming, we should talk about that a little bit. Everybody's dog should know off and down, and they should be interchangeable. No matter who says it, when they say it, if the dog is committing an offense, like jumping up on people or furniture, it should get down on the floor if it's told off or down. And if you're, half your family speaks German and they're all coming to visit, teach it that in that language. Make sure everybody can tell your dog to get off, get down right now. Because you don't want a dog that jumps up. Now teach it to sit for all the attention you want. And that is on my YouTube video. Greetings. So check that out. You want your dog to just sit. He'll be so much happier. He'll know what he's supposed to do. And he'll be pleased to do it. He won't get mixed messages and no one will find him rude. Because as much as they may love your dog, nobody carrying a newborn baby, the first Christmas for grandson and grandma, they don't want the dog jumping up, okay? Nobody carrying a beautiful dessert that they just made, walking in the front door, wants that dog jumping up. Nobody wearing white, if it's a dark dog, or blue, navy, if it's a white dog, wants the dog jumping up. So keep the dog down and let him get praised for his good behaviors instead of his bad behaviors. Now the cats also have a role to play. So we're going to go to another commercial break and we'll be back and I'll give you some more tips for making your pets loved and appreciated by your house guests and minimizing the conflict. Because I know you pet people, you think, look, the pets live here all year. You're just coming to visit. Put up with it. Yeah, okay. But it's a lot easier to put up with if your pets are polite. So stay tuned and we'll talk about that. A little bit of Christmas safety, like anchoring that tree, filling it with water, no open flames, no chocolate. Watch your antifreeze this time of year because dogs, deadly to dogs, and they're drawn to it, cats too. So watch it, cap it up, or use the good kind, the healthy kind. Don't use the chemicals that kill. If you're using the toxic stuff, make sure it's secure and no leaks or spots that pets could lick because it smells and tastes like candy to kids too. A lot of people get hurt by antifreeze, so watch that. And when we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about this, and we'll talk about the Christmas ornament toy, my favorite. And I'll tell you the number one reason animals end up at the vet in emergency, Christmas Day and New Year's Day. Coming up, stay tuned to the party.
Don't leave this party before it's over because the best is yet to come. Only losers leave the party early anyway. Party on, back in a few.
It's the holidays at PetSmart, so come one and all. There are hundreds of gifts for pets big and pets small. Toys only at PetSmart, so special and new. They'll love the gifts. You'll love the value. Hurry to PetSmart today for your very best friend and save 30 to 50% before the holiday ends.
The holidays are just around the corner. Go to PetLifeRadio.com/PetSmart and save up to 30% on awesome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. Toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. So shop early and save money. Go to PetLifeRadio.com/PetSmart today.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/party, P-A-R-T-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more.
Hi, everybody. I'm Megan Blake here with my sidekick, Super Smiley, the giant mutt and spokes dog for throwaways. You're listening to Pet Life Radio, and I'd like to tell you about our brand new show, A Super Smiley Adventure. Our show explores adventures with animals. They can be traveling, out-in-the-world trips, or inner journeys where our animals lead us to inspiration and self-discovery, or just plain, fun adventures. Join us here on Pet Life Radio on A Super Smiley Adventure. Good boy.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
You're inside the VIP room.
With the hottest party in town.
Back to the party.
Let's go.
Hello. We're back with Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and I'm your host, Deb Wolf. If you want to check me out on Facebook, it's Deborah Wolf Pet Expert on Facebook. And I'm there a lot. I post all kinds of funny things, and sometimes they're funny things you all send me, so thank you. And I've also got a new site up on Facebook. Just started it 2 weeks ago, Camp Good Dog. And that's thanks to Jenny, who's organizing that. Jenny, Mickey's owner, who offered to do it. Yay, Jenny. And so now you get to see the dogs who are here at camp, pictures of their cute little furry faces running around the farm, city dogs running on the farm. And next week, we'll be putting up dogs in costumes. Yes, we will. So later in the show, I'll tell you how to get your dog or cat to wear a costume. But we're back with Kristen from Planet Dog. And we're talking about, well, we were talking about their Glow for Good ball, where all the money you spend on it, you get a great toy for your dog or a friend's dog, a dog off your Christmas list, a durable toy, a toy that's great for the dog, and then all the money goes towards service dogs. But now we're going to talk about some of your other stuff. So can you tell me what inspired them to make that Christmas ornament toy? It's just so cute.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It looks just like those sort of classic old school holiday bulbs, like those strings of bulbs. And we have them in red and green, and they have a little base on them that looks like the little part that you would screw into a chain of lights. So they're called our bulbs. They come in a couple different sizes for different size dogs, and they're a great seller at this time of the year. They're a great tool. You can stuff them full of treats or put some food in there or some peanut butter. It's a great way to keep the dog busy while you have all those visitors over at the holidays. And the dog has a lot of energy and is excited because of all the people. And it's a great time to give them an interactive toy where they can just sit and gnaw away while everybody else is opening their presents. And the dog is just as happy as can be with their own little Christmas decoration in their mouth.
Well, the first time I saw it, I did a double take. I almost thought, oh, no. Because you think glass, and you think, oh, no, because there's a dog about to chop down on a Christmas bulb. But then you look close, and you go, okay, that looks cute. Now, I want people to hear what you just said about that activity. Okay, so there's people home from school, people home from work. There's extra food going on all the time, so the dog is getting it. Even if you're trying really hard, stuff is dropping. They're getting extra food. People are giving them treats on the side. They're getting extra. So they got extra energy. Extra excitement, they need extra walks. Now, this is the time your kids are most bribable. There's 8 nights of Hanukkah, there's, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, all kinds of presents, Santa, blah, blah, blah. They got to be good. They should be earning points on a chart, little paw stamps or something where, you know, every time they walk the dog or feed the dog or brush the cat or play with the cat or teach the cat a trick or teach the dog a trick, they get a point or a sticker or something going on because, really, these animals need more time and more energy out as well as in. So they'll be a lot better when your guests visit if they're tired. The dog will be better. The cat will be better if they're not bored out of their minds. Now, if you have guests who are really, really allergic, you want to make sure that the cats don't go all over their stuff. I mean, that's just horrible. If they're sick every time they come to see you, they're not going to like you or they're not going to like your cats, and they're not going to like coming to your place for holidays. And it's not because they're a Grinch. It's because you're making them sick. So, you know, help them out. Let them put their coat away where the cat won't lie on it. You know, everybody else's coat can go lying on a bed where the cat will snuggle it. Isn't that cute? Yeah, put theirs away. If same for the shoes. Put theirs away. If you've got your cats confined in a room because your cats are troublemakers and you know it, or because the people are so severely allergic, okay, when you go visit them in that room, change clothes. have sweats or something hanging from the door inside the room that you put on when you go in there and when you come out. Put your hair in a ponytail because you don't want to be bringing all that back out. Now, they could go and get a treatment or two and get over their allergy, but until they do, and you know how to do that through thewayoflaura.com, but until they do, when they come visit, it's just they're not prepared for it. Their systems can't handle it and they'll get sick. So they won't like your animals if they're rubbing all over them and jumping all over them and rubbing all over their stuff. So try to make it really easy for the guests to deal with. Now, cats shouldn't be up on counters and tables when guests are around. If they're allowed to normally, you are going to have to put them somewhere else because they won't just learn for that moment. But there's a lot of people who are really squeamish about that. So that's something to consider. I know cat lovers don't even consider that a lot of the time, but you're grossing out your guests if you're letting the cats jump on the counter. And hey, I'm totally guilty. I just wipe it off, clean it off, and I think it's fine. Yeah, okay. But when I have guests, I make sure the cats are off the counter and out of the room because otherwise, yeah, my guests don't want to eat the food. And I can't exactly blame them. If they're not as pet friendly as me, as pet obsessed as me, if they don't have pet fur on all their clothes, maybe they don't want it on all their clothes. So you have to think about that this time of year. You also have to think about the food treats. Don't decorate your tree with food. Popcorn, chocolate, candy canes, anything like that is just misleading. Peppermint is a draw for cats. All mint, all herbs are. But even the dogs, they'll smell the sugar in it or the fake sugar, which is even worse. There's a chemical they use in all these sweeteners that are really, really bad for animals. So you want to keep your animals away from the junk food, away from all that stuff. Box it up, lock it up, take it out when you're actually giving it and gifting it, and then box it up again. Now, here's something really important for the cats. They love the decorations. That's the thing that's going to hit them the hardest. So make sure you've got the garbage bags right there for when people are opening things so it gets put away. And even go through and tape things down or take them off. If there's especially tempting tinsel coming in or anything on a present where you just know your cat's going to want to eat it, just don't let them. Don't decorate with tinsel anywhere. Anything toxic that glitters and floats and flutters will really be a problem in your cat's stomach. Okay. So the number one reason dogs and cats land in emergency on Christmas Day and New Year's. Do you know, Kristen?
I'm thinking plant-related something, poinsettias?
No. Mm. And people used to say poinsettias were toxic. They will make animals a little bit sick with diarrhea and things. So you really shouldn't have too many of them. Try and avoid them. But it's not as toxic as we used to think. But no, the number one cause is people binge their dog or cat on the turkey gravy. Or the dog or cat gets into the garbage sometimes. And sometimes that means they get foil and fat. But it's just way, way, way too much. If they gave him a quarter teaspoon on top of his kibble, it would be fine. Or if they gave him actual turkey meat along with his dinner, that would be fine. But to let him eat out all that fat all at once, it's a big shock to the stomach. And a dog can actually die from that. So really don't do that. That's the number one reason. Another thing to consider this time of year if you live in a cold climate is rinse off the paws. That salt on the road, if the dogs are outside and then they lick it off, it goes into their system and it's really, really toxic and they only have two choices, either burn their pads or burn their stomachs. So you really need to just rinse it off, dry it off and get it off them before. And for old arthritic dogs, cats, keep them warm, keep them dry. A hot water bottle that's completely covered in a fitted cover is a great idea because both cats and dogs will self-medicate. They'll sort of position themselves on it the way they need it. If you put a lot of blankets on it, they'll uncover it to the heat they want. I mean, they're amazing at this. And that helps them a long way just to not feel so stiff, not feel the aches and pains of the cold this time of year. Okay, so we talked about the Christmas ornament. We talked about the ball tossers. We talked about the glow for good ball. What else should we talk about?
Well, we have a couple of other holiday treats out there. We have a super cute gingerbread buddy. It's nice and fleecy and has a good squeaker in it. And also we have a snowman buddy that is similar, very squeaky and fuzzy and really, really cute. Great gifts for dogs and dog lovers. But in general, I think, you know, Planet Dog has a wide range of wonderful toys for dogs. Again, all of our products are guaranteed, and they're rated for different styles of chewers, so they all have different durability ratings on them. So we really do make a durable dog toy for every dog out there, all different sizes and shapes, depending on the needs of your particular dog.
I had a very trim, very fit buff, not fat at all, 126-pound Rottweiler. Big,
wow.
Huge, tall dog, yeah. He just died about a year ago. But We used to get these things in the mail all the time, samples from different companies and everything. You know, I'd be tossing up for the blue heeler, his best friend, and the standard poodles and the golden retrievers and all the lab crosses, and they'd all be excited, and he'd be looking at me like, And then one day, you sent this enormous glow-in-the-dark ball. It's almost the size of a small cantaloupe or a very large Florida grapefruit. And his eyes, he just looked at me like, that's for me, isn't it? This is a dog who up until then, the only thing he could play with was a basketball, and he would pierce it. It would only last a little while, but, you know, it was good for a little while. It didn't matter if it hit him in the head or, you know, he would actually headbutt it up and up and up and up, and it would, you know, you'd almost wince watching him play with this thing. And then eventually he'd pierce it and it would be, you know, a dead basketball. And so, so it wasn't a very good game and it didn't work at all. I still have that ball that you gave. He never destroyed
great.
It. I still have it and it glows so I know where it is. And that's the thing. I mean, people think, why would you bother with a glow ball? Well, when you're trying to get work done like at dusk and you're trying to clean up the lawn quickly because the next morning you're going to mow or something like this, or you're looking for a ball because you want one and you can't find them anywhere, it's nice to have a glow-in-the-dark ball. And it's nice not to trip over it. It's nice to be able to see them anytime. It's nice if you're playing with little kids and dogs. It's a really nice added feature. So I think it's a cool thing. But I think we're almost out of time. So I'm wondering if there's anything else I should tell people. Oh, the flames. Okay, don't leave dogs, cats in with the Christmas tree if they're gonna mess with it. Then somehow either lock the tree in a small room or lock the pet somewhere else. If they're gonna mess with it, they can't be with it. Someone has to be with them all the time. And they might mess with it. Cats really like to climb Christmas trees, especially real ones. And so you gotta be aware of that. That's why I want you to anchor the tree to the wall, to the ceiling, somehow. Because they're gonna get up there if they feel like it. And maybe it's funny. So make sure you don't have your cherished breakable glass and crystal on there. Make sure if you do have nice ornaments, they're higher up, lower down ones are more the kind that you don't care if kids play with and dogs, cats maybe get a hold of. Make sure you're always, always watching, because anything that pops off and can be swallowed can be a real problem. And then again, no food around the tree. That sends a mixed message. The flames. When you light candles and you're not supposed to blow them out like for Hanukkah, use tiny little birthday candles if you don't want to be having to supervise them for an hour or two. And make sure the flames are not left alone with the animals, because cats will play with them. They'll ignore them and get singed by them. They'll knock them to the floor. They'll chase the shadows. There's a lot of things cats will do with flames that are not good things, really not good things. So you don't want any kind of lit candelabra in the middle of the Christmas table or on the tree. You see these things once or twice a year, every year, these disasters in the news where there's a house fire, and that's how it started. And, you know, the house cat and the mantelpiece, and they all went out for a walk, and they came back, and boom, it's, you know, the fire trucks are there. So we don't want to be doing that. We want a safe, safe holiday. And buy your cats and dogs treats. They are allowed. Or make them treats. They are allowed. And put them in really easy-to-see containers that are labeled that way. So when guests want to reward them, they make the dog do a trick, they call the cat by name, and then they give him the treat. And right away, I mean, people who say, oh, what do you mean, give the cat, make the cat come to its name? Well, right now, when you come home, when you finish listening to this, call your cat. Say its name really loud and call it. And then go get it something it likes. It might be a mouse. It might be catnip. It might be a special skin of fish off the fish you're going to serve later tonight. I don't care what it is. Something you know your cat likes. Okay? It might be cuddles. It might be brushing. Whatever. Just say its name, say come, and then make that great thing happen. Do that about 5 times, and your cat will know its name. Do it when you come home from work or school, and then pet the cat, and it'll know its name in a couple of days. That's how quick they learn. They actually learn faster, a lot faster than dogs. But you got to communicate with them. And I'll be telling you more about that in the weeks to come, because we've got one more week and then we're taking a break for the holidays and I'll be back in January. But as you know, I want you talking to your cats. I want you talking to your dogs. So to start the conversation with your cats, look at them and close your eyes. 1, 2, 3, open your eyes. Now watch your cat. If your cat loves you, it'll do it right back at you. 1, 2, and open its eyes. It's trying to show you that it is so trusting of you. It's willing to close its eyes in your presence. Now, if there's another animal it doesn't trust in the room, it won't do this. And if you're a stranger, it probably won't do this, unless it's one of these cats that loves everybody. But if you know the cat well and he loves you and you love it, it will be so delighted that you're finally speaking. Well done, human. You stupid human. You're finally talking. Most cats spend their lives wondering why we're just not communicating, really, because they're very, very capable of communication, just as much as dogs, but they're not verbal at all. Dogs are a little bit verbal. Not much. Most people just rely on that. And thank goodness dogs are so bright. But first species, we're pretty bad at our communication. So we got to get better at our physical signs and our body language and our facial language and our tone and our movement, all these things that animals totally read. Okay, so Kristen, I know you're probably aware of that from the service dog perspective, how the animals read all these things.
Absolutely. I mean, they are just so much more in tune with us than we ever even realize. And when you get the opportunity to see a dog working closely with a person, you do realize that they are so in tune with every shift in your mood and in your tone and body temperature and all kinds of other things, too. They pick up on everything.
Well, that's why sometimes it's your thoughts that matter. When you're standing at the park and you're so frustrated because your dog won't come and you're going to be late, and you're sitting there thinking, I am so frustrated. I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late. Okay, no matter how much you try to project the image of, good dog, I love you, come here, you're not. Your body's saying, I'm going to be late. And your dog's saying, woo, don't want any of that. La, 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 I can't hear her. You know, and the dog keeps walking and he won't look in your direction at all. And all of a sudden his hearing is gone, you know, because he don't want to go anywhere near you. Now, if you could just force yourself to think, God, that dog's beautiful. I love my dog. I wish I could hug my dog right now. You'd be surprised how quickly he'll come. Because your whole, everything changes, right? And now he's looking at you and he's like, I love her too. Oh, I want to cuddle. You know, and he'll be there. So just be aware.
Look how nice and patient she is standing over there waiting for me.
Yeah, isn't she lovely? Yeah, and some people believe they actually read our thoughts. I don't know. But they certainly read our body language. They certainly read all the little cues that we're not even aware we're sending, including smell cues. Like when you're frustrated, you smell different than when you're happy. So you got to really fake it good. You got to be a method actor for this stuff. Dogs are really critics. Okay, so I'm just wondering if I should give any more Christmas tips. I know I'll hang. We'll finish the show. We'll end the party. And then I'll think, oh, but I didn't tell them this, that, and the other. Your emergency numbers. Find out who's open. Your regular vet might not be. So find out who's open between December 24th and January 2nd, January 5th. Find out who's open and where they are and GPS it. Know the number so you're ready. Have pet ID on your pets, especially if you've got guests coming in and out. Cat scratch would be good about now. If you're getting a Christmas tree and you have a cat and he doesn't have a cat scratch would be good. And I'm not talking about a little cardboard thing that sits on the ground. Most cats won't even use that. When a cat fully stretches out, he actually puts extra inches on his frame if he wants to by increasing the disc space in his body. It's something we humans can't do. It's something that makes cats appear tiny, tiny when they want to be and huge when they want to be. When a cat stretches, it needs to stretch about 4 feet, almost as high as your waist or your underarm if you're a little, you know, shorter person. And so that's really tall. So you need something tall for a cat. Now, some cats like to stretch horizontally and some like to stretch vertically. But any which way, they still have to stretch in order to scratch. If you want them scratching the scratch posts and not your furniture, you need to get something really big. It doesn't have to take up a lot of room, but it has to be tall. It can even be something attached to a wall that doesn't take up any room, but it's just one long, 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 long cat scratch post stuck to the wall. Cats also like shelving units. So if you were thinking of doing something special for your cat, instead of it being food, try one of these over the holidays. Try and get them something that'll give them some exercise and some more space. Because a lot of us live in small spaces, but the top of the rooms are completely unoccupied, and that's where the cats want to be. Put a bookshelf around the whole top, and they've got a whole other apartment now. You know, and it's an apartment where the dogs don't get to them, too. It's a cool place to be for cats. So all you need is a way up, like a bookcase with the top shelf empty and a ramp or a table they can jump from. Surprising what athletics they'll get up to, and they'll be so much more fit and so much more happy if you do this. You could also grow some things for your cats for Christmas. You know, those little herb gardens people start in their windows or the chia pets, that kind of thing. Do something with herbs, real herbs. They love, well, they especially love catnip and cat grass, but you can also oregano and basil and parsley, all these things cats love, and lavender, and they love a house that smells like it. So if you got a stressed out cat, start planting some of that around the house. Start using some of that when you have a bath And maybe get the cat pheromone spray, too, because if guests are coming, they're going to get more stressed out. That's something you stick in your wall, and it just releases happy cat smell. It helps a lot. So that's for the cats. Dogs love guests. They love visitors. But make sure you got a good-fitting collar. Check it. Make sure it's not something he can wriggle out of. If he's got bad house members, lock the door so people have to knock to come in. So you're there and put him on a leash. Have a leash right by the door hanging there. Put him on a leash before you open the door because we don't want the dog bolting out and getting hit by one of your visitors or one of your neighbor's visitors on Christmas Day. That's not a happy scene. Oh, yeah, this is another safety warning. The little tiny dogs, don't let them out in the backyard unsupervised, especially if you live somewhere like Colorado. I got a call one Christmas from these people who had their Yorkie taken by a bird of prey right out the backyard. So really, really watch the teeny tiny ones. You know, make sure somebody goes out with them, at least a big dog. Okay, everybody, so stay safe at Christmas. And I want to give the last word to Kristen from Planet Dog. Go for the Glow for Good ball, right, Kristen?
Absolutely, the Glow for Good ball, any of our holiday products, you can find all of them at planetdog.com.
Thank
Happy
you
holidays
so
to you, Deb. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, thank you for putting up with all the holiday stuff, but it's the stuff people need this time of year.
Oh, I love it. I always learn so much on your show, so it's great. I'm going to go home and reassess everything at home.
Oh, no. The house gets a little bit safer, but a little bit of Christmas goes with it. I hope not. There should be ways. You know what? A lot of the time, it's choosing natural over fake, like choosing real cedar or real holly over the stuff that they're gonna, that looks like it but is all ribbons and ends up in the cat's stomach. You know what I mean? Just go with natural. That's the better way to go and watch the flames. Okay, everybody, so be safe at Christmas. Be safe at Hanukkah. Be good to your pets. Spoil them with extra walks, extra games, extra tricks. If you want to know how, go to my YouTube channel. And if you want to see puppies and dogs dressed up for Christmas in the next weeks, check out Camp Good Dog on Facebook. Or just come to Deborah Wolf, Pet Expert on Facebook, where you'll find updates about this show and all kinds of funny stuff. And Kristen, can I ask, would you please post a picture of your Glow for Good ball on my Deborah Wolf Pet Expert page on Facebook?
You bet, absolutely.
Oh, that'd be great. And actually, if you want to, that picture of the dog with the Christmas ornament, oh,
mm-hmm.
I'd love if you posted that. That would be great, too.
You bet. Deborah Wolf, okay. Pet Expert.
Yep. Okay, thanks a lot, Kristen. So have a happy holiday.
You too. Happy holidays to everybody and all the four-legged friends out there.
Thank you. Okay, everybody. So Christmas morning and New Year's Eve. Make sure we're not overdosing our pets on fat. Make sure it's just a little bit with everything else. And no chocolate for the dogs. It really is toxic to them. No nuts for anybody. You know, just bake something for your dogs or cats or buy something special. And have it set aside so the people who want to feel generous can do that. And then just hold off a little on their regular food so they're not getting fat over the holidays. You know how to do it. You do it for yourself. So we don't want obese pets at Christmas. We don't want sick cats and dogs at the vet clinic. Watch where you walk, wherever you go. It might be too hot if you're lucky enough to live in Florida. But most likely you're somewhere cold. And just make sure you're not going in pure salt. Make sure you're walking your dog safely. Okay, everybody, have a great holiday. We'll talk to you next week.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.